podcast. KellerKellerOfficial.com.
You need the Kellervision app. 24/7 mini documentaries, podcasts, live shows, DJ live streams, top fives, subscription packages, plus products for all your podcasts and street culture sports. Download it from the App Store for free today.
Beatbox created.
KellerKeller.
And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
KellerKeller Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, Killer Keller Podcast, live and direct, central London, or central as you need to be, should be, could be, want to be. That's right. We're not dealing more on bees over here. Big shout out to graffitikings.co.uk. I'll tell everyone's got the Kellervision app, free download, Android, iPhone. Yeah, you know what time it is. We're coming here with some legacy holders. We've got some dons inside the place. And my goodness, we're going to chat about some stuff that you guys, untapped in conversations previously documented by the man himself, Alan Sipa. People do nothing. The Dunkan Daka Dapadan. How are you, brother?
Yes, Mike. How are you saying? You good?
I feel like we've already done the podcast before I even started. How you doing?
Yeah, good, man. Just pretending to say hello to each other and that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What we're just saying is it's a bad one that, you know, with social media being that this ever so important connective thing for everybody. Like, I feel like we've seen it, known each other for ages.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I feel like I've met you bare times. Like, when you open the door, I was like, yes, what's going on?
Hold on a minute. You move. Yeah, physically.
Yeah. there's a bottom half to you. Sick. Yeah.
But you must get that with a lot of people. I mean, because of your relevant, more recently with the podcast and the TV show and whatnot, that must have been like, a real moment where people were just naturally, I mean, I've had it too. It's that feeling of they have met you, but they haven't.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a mad one, isn't it?
Especially early on when people are staring at you and you're like, you're confused.
Because you forget.
Yeah. You're like, is this? Oh, no. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
That thing, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because it becomes so passe in your life. That's the thing that you just do. It's a thing, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah.
But we ain't just talking about this business, you understand, because we actually connected initially through the graffiti side of things and the podcast and whatnot.
For sure, man. Like, I've always been a fan of graff and, like, a specific era of graff as well, do you know what I mean? So, like, yeah, man, that's how I got into it. Obviously, I know who you are from before, but that's how I got into the podcast, yeah.
I must admit, I'm surprised we hadn't actually connected before.
That's, yeah.
It's kind of criminal, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I was down at all them nights, but I was in the crowd and that. Not you, was backstage.
Oh, my, how the world turned and changes. And yeah, man. I mean, dude, you hit the marker as far as generational graffiti is concerned because we are the same. That was my era. Like, before we jumped on, big shout out Koza, we were just talking about.
Yeah, man, big fan. Yeah,
golden eras. Yeah, man. And so Sipa was your graph name.
Yeah, back in the day, man. I mean, nowhere near the levels the people you have on here, but that was I mean, when I was younger, everyone had a tag. Like, everyone at school, you know, like, you'd start by just graphing at school in the back of the bus.
Just a thing, wasn't it?
It's just a thing. Like, MCing, graphing, blazing, that was just literally everything. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And that's who we used to look up to as well, because I'm from, like, Cheserton, Kingston sort of area, and it was all the South London graphers you look up to, innit? And it's just that bit further out from where you are and that.
Yeah, like,
you
know, kind of off the radar.
Yeah.
But you can see it.
You can see it, and you're getting influenced by it. And all the hand styles and everything was that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Oh, hold on. Big shout, Marcus. Hold tight, Marcus.
Yeah, what's up? Yeah.
Original man ever, you know. actually, you guys do a food
Yeah,
together,
man. Yeah, that's my boy Marky. We do a little thing called Taste Cadets.
Taste
on Insta.
Cadets.
Yeah, like, it's bait. And Kieran, shout out Kieran as well out there. Yeah, man, that's just something that, like, we're mad into food and traveling and that. Like, it's not like look at me, I'm eating and cooking. It's more like traveling the world and learning different things about different cultures and that. Like, I'm half Kurdish, half Czech. Marky's Jamaican, Kieran's Scottish. So it's like the children of the world.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, you were just going back to what I was saying. Yes. It felt like there was a style in graph at the time that resonated and kind of stuck within the outer reaches of London.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I was from Crawley, and that was a very similar thing. You'd see the South, and South was just it. The style of South.
Yeah, because you got, like, the Croydon line and all that, innit? Yeah. For us, it was just that. To this day, I just love black and chrome. Like, even just outside of graph, I like things in black and white, not even coloured in. And I think that comes from the fact I just love the black and chrome straight letters, do you know what I mean? But it was there's a talent to simplicity, you know what I mean? Like, pulling things off that aren't masked by sort of different flows and colours and stuff, like, is a talent in itself, do you know what I mean? Like, pulling off a straight letter that's just fire. I love that, man. I love the simplicity of it, man, and the freedom. To me, it wasn't just the actual writing itself. I think just, and a lot of people of my generation, and where I was from, like, we weren't, like, the best graphers in that, but it was the whole lifestyle, wasn't it? Like, going out, do you know what I mean? Like, everyone's always free. Everything's always free. You know what I mean? Like, that sort of, yeah, it was just, it's sick. It was sick, man. No responsibilities, you know. Like, when I think back at it, like, alcoholism was quite rife in teenagers. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was just pissed all the time from brew raises.
We were wasted youth.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. Yeah. But as I say, you know, I just dipped my toe into it, man. It's just, I was a fan more than anything, man. Yeah.
But like you say, when you're in amongst that circle, I mean, I always find, even with the podcast, fucking privilege. I'm like, it's a privilege.
Because I'm sure,
the circle's tight and you can't just knock on the door and expect it to open. You were around them, you know?
Yeah, of course. And especially that generation of graph, where it was, you know, like, you'd only hear stories and shit. It's kind of like with music as well. Back in the day, like, MCs and that, you wouldn't know what they looked like unless you went to a rave, you know what I mean? Or DJs or whatever, innit? The same with graph. Like, you'd hear the stories. Yeah. You'd make this picture of who that is, you know what I mean? Then you finally meet them, you're like, rah. And then that's why this podcast is sick, because for me, it's just like, it feels really personal. Feels like a real personal bit of it. Like, it's like, it's my history, but do you know what I mean?
Because
it was like a small error, you know what I mean?
I love that,
Nah, sick. Nah, that's why I definitely recommend it,
Yeah, and being in amongst that circle, I mean, we're getting to the early stages right here, because obviously we start as we mean to go on, and that journey where you were, that association with street culture, and that whole period of your life growing up, was that something that was... That was the real deal. That was what your foundations and growing up were.
That's what my foundations was, 100%. You know, especially when you first start, like, secondary school and that, and, like, your only ways of, like, I wasn't good at football. I wasn't good at, like, schoolwork that good, you know what I mean? But the way of, like, I guess, like, bonding and communicating was through, like, MCing, graph, do you know what I mean? Weed. Like, yeah, that sort of shit. Do you know what I'm saying? That all links into, like, when I eventually did People Do Nothing as well, because I was doing, like, pirate radio, I was going to squat parties. That's where I met Bear Graphers as well. That was a proper graph thing back
then. It was a
proper
squat party.
Like, back in, like, 02, 03. 99 to 2001, I was sitting in my room smoking weed, listening to pirate radio, and that would have been, like, Delight FM. And then I got into, like, jungle, drum and bass and that, started going to squat parties. And I'm from Bumpkin, like, I'm from Cheserton originally. So that was the first time I started going out to different ends and that, like, obviously when, you know, like, I don't know, like Stratford, Camden, all these places. That were, like, especially like Stratford and Hackney and all that. That was derelict and mad spots at the time, do you know what I mean?
And that, it was, yeah.
But you're, do you know what I mean? You're drunk or buzzing out your mind and it's all, do you know what I mean?
It's all one and the same.
And I was too, and I, at first I was too young to go to real drum and bass raves. So I only went to real drum and bass raves as I got much older. Like, just not the golden era of it, do you know what I mean? I was just at squat parties at the time.
Because
of, do you know what I mean, not being able to get in and that. But yeah.
It's a madness.
But that's when I think about it, that's that whole, it's just all intertwined, and that is everything that inspired People to Do Nothing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I didn't know what I wanted to do. You know, I was doing just little, like, odd call center jobs or whatever, selling a bit of weed. Like, I wanted to be a rapper as well after that whole era, you know, but too lazy. And
it's almost better telling people you are it rather than actually doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, man. So, like, all of that.
Star in the hood.
I remember my mum being like, this guy's crazy. Like, because, like, foreign parents, you know what I mean? She expected more of me.
What did they say when you were, like, had all these lofty ambitions of rapping and all that?
I used to lie about pirate radio. Like, I used to tell her I was going pirate radio more than I was, just because I was just literally going blazing, you know what I mean? Like, doing whatever. And, like, but now I say to her, those were all really important years, because I wouldn't have been inspired to write about what I did.
You know, man, it's crazy when you... I don't know whether it's a case of parents being on side and understanding and then it comes to fruition and yes, thank God we stuck it through with him and or her and it went forward. I don't even know if
it's tough because if I was a parent, I'd be worried and I'd be like, they're not doing anything.
Totally.
Everything always feels like it's forever.
Yeah.
So at the time, even now, if something bad's happening, it feels like that's it. This is shit and it feels like that forever. So as a parent, you'd be like, this kid is a moron and he's going to be like that forever. Do you know what I'm worried about?
Yeah, yeah. Like it cuts off at that. Okay, well, so the ride's over and you're clearly shit at it. Look where you are now.
Yeah, yeah.
Told you so.
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah. So like I'm not surprised that she was, you know, worried and stuff. And she didn't know half the things I was doing. Like I had like quite a strict home, do you know what I mean? Mm. Like in the sense of curfews and all that compared to everyone else I knew that just did what they want.
Is that the background of a Czech
and Kurdish
family?
I think hundred man. Like, I mean, she's from communist Prague, where that was her whole upbringing was rules. Do you know what I mean? Because that's what was put on them.
But, you must have gone there growing up as a kid.
That place is
amazing, bro.
Yeah, yeah, Prague's sick.
And time, like I remember going there in 1999.
Wow, yeah.
And so
the big hip hop scene there, man.
Huge, yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. And they had the Nova cars and the Skodas and
Skodas.
Felt like you were back in the day. Mm-hmm. You know, you felt like you'd gone back.
Yeah, and Larders. Yeah, it was all still residual from the communist era.
Yeah.
And I didn't clock that until now. Like when I talk to people about it, they're like, "Yeah, if you break it down, like, yeah, her whole life was." You've got hide things for you can't even listen to radio like that's not the three stations that it had in it.
Yeah.
So if they wanted to listen to Beatles or whatever, that's naughty for them. They're like hiding under, you know, like you can't talk about things in public. So there's no wonder that there was suddenly all this like control and rules within my household because that's how she was raised.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying? And then my dad, he's coming from Kurdistan, which is like a whole next. Do you know what I mean? Whoa. Northern Iraq, where they didn't even have their own country at the time. Because of Saddam, you know, like...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know a lot about the details on this. Break it down. Yeah, break it down.
Like, shout out all the Kurdish people out there, yeah? Free Kurdistan. Like, let's get our country back. Because that's something I'm learning as I get older.
Mm.
Because, let me break it down even before then. Where I'm from, in Cheshirton, is a very working class white area, right? And... you had a few people from a different culture, but not too many. Certainly no Kurdish people, do you know what I'm saying? So at school, like my full name is Alan Muhammad Kamal Arif Mustafa, yeah? But at school I was Alan, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I wanted it that way.
Yeah.
Like I was even embarrassed if people were coming around and my mum's cooking shit, you know, like I'm like, no, it's all right, there's pizza in the freezer, you know, like it was a mad identity crisis in a way, you know what I mean?
Mm-mm-mm.
It wasn't until I got older and started going to college and meeting people from West London and all these people from different cultures, that it was a good thing. They're like, oh, right, you're Kurdish, that's sick.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But I never embraced that. And even as a younger, you don't give a fuck about your parents anyway. Like, my dad's trying to put me on to the history of it. And first of all, the history is complicated.
Mm.
So even for a kid to grasp that, it wasn't attractive, you know, and something your parents are telling you, I just want to hang around with my friends. So now I'm making up for that, you know, like as I get older, because the history of that is the Kurdish people all had their own land in one part of the world where you now have Iraq, Iran, Syria, Turkey, I believe. And when they made the maps, when you had that, the French geezer and the English geezer, they went out there to make their maps, the colonizers, They created borders. So now you've got Iraqi Kurds, Iranian Kurds, Turkish Kurds, and Syrian Kurds split into different countries. You know, years and years and years later, they've all got their own identities within these countries. You know what I mean? And none of these countries want them to have their land back or for them to be proud of their own language and their own flag and all these sort of things. And in the era of Saddam Hussein, like my dad was a proper nationalist Kurd, like he'd be helping the Peshmerga, which are the freedom fighters of Kurdistan in Iraq. So when in the 80s, when Saddam was in power and that, he was killing off all the Kurds and that. So my dad had to run away, you know, ended up here. And so that's... there's a mad history there.
Yeah,
do you know what I'm saying?
That's crazy.
So all of this stuff, you know, I say that to say this. So when you bring it back, and I'm just fucking about, and I'm this stupid little kid that's fucking about and not appreciating like what they've been through, they're fucking putting their hair out.
Yeah.
They're like, what's, you know what I mean? I've been through mad shit. This kid can't even wipe his ass at the age of 18. But I think it's important to understand why people are the way they are. Do you know what I mean?
You know what? This is the framework.
Mm.
Because what's really interesting about what you just said there, and I think a lot of kids can relate to it, on this show we have a lot of different age ranges and whatnot. And I think one thing that that anyone can relate to is the identification crisis that you have as an artist.
Yeah.
But when you really trail it back, it's almost like your example there is quite a common, I think it's quite a common scenario, you know?
Sure.
Because all you want to do is buzz off with your mates and just have a good time. And
sure, exactly. It's completely doable, isn't it? Yeah, 100%.
It's only when you get older and you grow up a little bit into your own self and you're like, oh, actually, you know what?
Like, who am I? Why am I the way I am? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I see my dad creep in, even on me, and I'm like, oh, man, what would my 21-year-old say?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's surreal, isn't it?
Yeah, man. Yeah, for sure.
So then the creativity comes into play, and the next thing, you've got this, like, oh, wait a minute, so I can be this thing? Some people have university.
Yeah.
Because when they finish off their schooling, you know, the intermediate schooling, they go straight into college and they find new university mates and whatnot.
Yeah, for sure. And that's where they have their new identity. Do you know what I'm saying? And I tried. I went to uni, but I didn't go in, innit? I just took the money. And there's another, you know, mistake or whatever. But, around that time is where I met. So I went to Thames Valley University in Ealing. So that was in West because of the people I'd met in college that was from West. Like, shout out Aziz, Mansour, First and Last, all these people that then introduced me to Hugo Chegan, who plays DJ Beats.
Hold tight, Hugo. He's been on the podcast.
He's been on,
We're really, I must actually, because I know he's going to be watching, right?
Yeah.
That was one of my first live stream shows I've
ever done,
right?
Yeah.
And like with these pin microphones. Hugo, I love you, man. You really stayed strong,
he
man.
He held it together
because I know it ain't his thing. It was like, I knew this was a big deal and it's like the mics were fucking going everywhere. But yeah, that's my guy for that reason among many good people.
He's quite a private person as well, so you smashed it for that, man.
The whole of your camera, like, is he?
Yeah, man. I remember saying to him, like, yeah, do it, man, because it would be, I think it's good, you know, like, he's obviously not private when you know him.
Yeah, so I
think it's, like, important for people to get to know him, you know what I mean?
And Beats Barnett, he's a bad boy producer.
Oh, man, you already know the history, man. That's what I'm saying. So he was already making beats, like, by then we was into, like, so I'd finished my, like, squat party raving sort of stage, like, pills and, you know what I mean? Like, all that sort of era. And then I was on just, that's when I really took it back and was on my 90s hip-hop, you know what I mean? Like, it was just all hip-hop for me. And obviously UK hip-hop era and that. Like,
it's all one and the same, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It just happens, doesn't
it? And that's when I got introduced to him and he was making beats and I wanted to rap, but we kind of more, I guess, bonded over, like, the love of, like, The Office and Partridge and Peep Show and all these things, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, like, and smoking weed. So, like, I'd go around there and then we'd eventually...
You know who people sleep on the most? Mm. Garth Marenghi.
Oh, man, he's hard. And you know he was in The Office as well?
Yeah, he was. He was the guy that was...
Yeah. Yeah, not in Way of the Dragon. Into the Dragon. Yeah, man, no, he's sick.
Oh, geez, Beats, for me, I mean, like, I think... I mean, first of all, hold on a minute. Alchemist on your podcast, hold tight.
Oh, man, yeah, fucking hell, yeah.
If you're going to epitomise a hero, jeez.
Yeah, 100. That's what I mean. That was a mad moment, man, for sure, yeah. For anyone out there, chatting shit podcast, me and Hugo, got Alchemist on. Just our new best mate, no big deal.
So, yeah, just a vibe, just minor.
Yeah.
Right. But for real, like...
But that's what I'm saying. Through all the stuff I've done... Someone halfway across the world who I fucking look up to has seen it and gone, boom, like on whatever, I don't know, Twitter or whatever, love what you guys are doing. Yeah. I'm like, are you mad? Like, that fucking hell, yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? And then, so shit like that wouldn't have happened without, if we take it back, everything we're talking about. Do you know what I mean?
I had Jordan from Rizzle Kicks on here, right?
Yeah, and he shout told out me Jordan, this, man. He's a good guy, Jordan, yeah.
You could people's... he told me the story about how he got a Farrah Monch on a record.
Bruh.
And he just blows my mind, you know what I mean? Like, all it takes is a tweet.
Yeah.
All it takes is a repost. All it takes is somebody just to say, yeah, actually, I love what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, you know,
but that's why ego can't get involved, because before I would have been like, oh, no, I'm not going to message them. I'm not going to, you know what I mean? Like, but once you get past that, you can connect.
Is that ego?
I think a little bit is because it's insecurity is what it is. You know what I mean?
That's from an ego place, isn't
100%.
It?
Yeah, because and especially before, no one would ever rate each other. No one would bread each other. That was a thing, wasn't it? That's a thing. Like, oh, don't beg it. You know what I mean? Yeah,
that's a very UK thing too.
Really UK thing, man. 100%. And even like just not going for things. Nah, fuck that. People might think this, people might think, do you know what I mean? Even when we first started People Do Nothing on YouTube, we just like fucking about as webisodes, the first thing I said is like, I don't know, man, because people ain't going to take my rap shit seriously. You know what I mean? Because it was all about an image and what I thought. You know, there is no image there.
You didn't want it to go monkeys.
You wanted
it to be like, I'm the rapper, then I'm
That's right, I always say that. Yeah, you're not performing monkey. Yeah, exactly that.
No,
yeah.
It's in like the band The Monkeys, you know? Okay. They had that show, right? So at that point with Beats and you guys just establishing like friendship, so you were just into hip hop? That was just
That was it, man. It was just like, I guess these guys called First and Last took me around his studio and I'm thinking, I don't know. Like, I don't know who's going to be. Like, you know what I mean? It's just going to be music. Turn up, like, record my little bar and that. And then end up just staying and smoking a bit of weed with him and just, like, fucking about him. And it turns out he used to do pirate radio back in the day. So we're sharing stories about that. And, were you into The Office? Yeah, no, I'm into The Office. We're watching it, you know, rewinding parts, redoing it. And it's when camera phones, first came out, innit?
Yeah.
So we were just, like, just filming each other just for jokes. Like, just pretending to be these mad musicians or just the mad A&R or something, you know what I mean? Just so we can watch it back, smoke a joint and laugh at it.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
That's it.
Because you're editing it yourself as well, and that can be quite funny.
No, not even that, bro. Just literally just pressing play again and watching it and being like, ah, that's jokes, delete. You know
Sounds
what I mean?
Like one of my podcasts. That's just me warming up on my own. It's me on my own here. dude, you do though, however, there is this mental process that, because when you're doing it for a laugh and you're just getting high and just, you know, look, that's funny, then some people just do nothing.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's, that's why that name, Steve thought of the name, like, gotta give credit to Steve, because when we was breaking it down, it's like all these things we used to do, like we used to like get a little draw, go pirate radio, you know, couple heads are listening, you know, whatever, might go on a little brew race, whatever little thing, but at the end of the day, nothing really happens.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what People Just Do Nothing is about, isn't it? It's the self-importance of that world for you, but outside of it, nothing's really happening, you know what I mean? Yeah, you're not really going anywhere with it, it's just there.
It's an irony, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure, but that's also the beauty of it,
yeah.
Because you're not chasing anything, it's just, it's purely for the process, do you know what I mean? And those characters don't learn that till the end.
Yeah. I was there from the jump on the early episodes. Big shout out, James Russian. I know you're watching.
Yeah.
Dear friend
of mine. Man like Russian.
Yeah. Tight, James. because James is a very established producer. Prodigy, Bibi Clyro. But we were in the studio and it became our new thing. We would wait until we would...
Because this was on YouTube?
This was YouTube time. This was, and it was proper... I think there must have been nothing more than 20 minutes long.
Oh, bad. It's 12, 8 minutes long.
Yeah. But we'd be watching, waiting for the next one to come on. It'd be like you guys, what you and Hugo used to do in the studio, waiting for Office.
We
were like that with yours. And we were like, oh, crazy. This is... Are they serious?
Yeah.
But it's actually funny. So we want more.
Yeah.
We're waiting for the next one to come. And then we just wait into these... wormholes. I mean, just the one where, I mean, listen, I'm going to be that guy now. Right, the one where you're doing the exercising for the music video.
Oh,
yeah. I'm that guy. You know that it happened. It was so relative. It was so true to our culture.
Yeah, for sure. And that's how it started. It was people like you lot watching it. It was just musicians watching it. Because when we first started, we... Again, Like, there was no, oh, we're going to do this and blow and everyone's going to watch it. No, it was like, we're just going to do it for our friends. Like, this is a bit like, we just had a Facebook, our personal Facebooks, that's it, you know what I mean? And it's when YouTube was still, at the time, it wasn't even like original pieces of music. It would be like ripped bits of music. It would be a cat spinning on a chair. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, and a few little heads doing like, you know, like maybe like Shadrach and Amandem and shit like that back then. And it was one of them ones where, it actually started because me, everyone is Hugo's friend. So Steve, Asim, who plays Jabody G, like they were both Hugo's friends. Like Hugo grew up with Steve and then Asim was like a rapper that Hugo used to work with, do you know what I mean? So he is the glue. He's the like the middle person that like connected us all together. And that's what I'm saying about, I didn't really have people like that around me to, you know, because I never wanted to be an actor or anything like that. And that sort of like, I'll just try things, fuck it, doesn't matter. That sort of attitude I never had. It was, so it's, this is all them lot, do you know what I mean? It's all them lot, like.
I don't want to put you into like any hot water here. It could get a bit spicy, but it's not intention. Would you say, because Hugo, like you say, he's a glue. He's the glue to this world. And you come from this world. And that, this, it was almost like an inauguration to a whole new, like people would with university and like this.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah, it was a different new stage in my life.
Next stage.
Yeah, where you just didn't care what people thought as much anymore and stuff like that. And
but what happened to the old Super? Was it a case that the whole time again, Marcus and now, see what I mean? Like you've got your bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Kieran did day one as well.
You've got your physicals, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, and everyone's from the jump. But what I mean is like, did you feel, was there a turbulent moment where you made that transition and you knew that there was going to be negative or positive energies that were in your life, that it was just going to change forever? Did you knew that it was
I didn't
transition?
Know it was going to change forever, but I knew that I needed to not even just people, but cut off certain mind frame and way of thinking. And, you know what I mean? Because people just naturally grow apart anyway. Yeah. Like, where I'm from, like in the sort of, let's say, golden era, when you're younger and teenagers, everyone was either an MC or a DJ or a grapher, it was creative. And but then it stops and then it's like people either go this way or they get a job, become a builder or what, you know what I mean? But there was no other creative outlet sort of thing. Like I even remember that there'd be like one or two heads, you know, and you'd be holding on to that, do you know what I mean? Yeah. But they've got their other shit to do. So it's like, when I met these lot, I was like, this is sick. This is something I want to be doing. I didn't even know that I wanted to be doing. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I used to fuck around anyway. Like, I was always that guy. But I just never had an outlet for it. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, like, I guess subconsciously that happened, but it wasn't like I sat there and was like, oh, fuck these lot, and these lot are sick.
No. Although there are people out there that do that.
Yeah.
You know who you are.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And I'm sure there's people out there that aren't happy for me, you know, that's how it is.
Yeah. You can't.
Whoa, be, son. Haters.
you can't please them all, where'd you put me?
Yeah.
When you're in that place, it really does feel like it's everything you ever wanted. But what people don't see is up to that point, you are completely and utterly winging it.
Yeah,
you ain't got a clue what the fuck you're going to do.
100%.
And then this thing just happens.
And one thing that I learned from everything I'd been through as well is that we weren't, it's not like, like these days, a lot of kids are like, yeah, oh, this is an earner. We've got to do this. If we do this, then I'll earn this peak. You know what I mean? It weren't that at all. It weren't like, oh, we're going to be fake. Like, fuck that. And that was the good thing that I learned through graph, through hip hop and stuff like that, was that to keep you grounded, that mentality of
work great.
Yeah, work great. And also, like, you're not just doing this for this. You're not doing it for the fake. You're not doing it for something to come back out of it. You're doing it because it feels good.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And you've got to care about it. The more you care about it, the more does come back from it, the more you care about it. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. Like when Hugo said to me, oh, my friend Steve, I'd never met before, is he's doing, you know, he went uni, Steve, and he's traveling in Thailand. Do you want to go out there? You know, and I'm still of the mindset of like, what if I can't get anybody out there? What, it's too far from, you know, like, it's not open-minded at all, And I'm 19, no, I'm like 22, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that seems about right.
Very like, just where I'm from and that's it. And went out there, met Steve. We connected straight away through comedy as well.
That's
and we
so
ended up just
sick.
Like kind of fucking about and, you know, terrorizing people on the beach in the sense of like pretending we're on pills and going out to hippies and, you know, and they're like, it's all good, man. And that's where his Steve's character came from. Do you know what I mean? And like that wasn't his name when he's in Steve's then. It was just, we were just all talking like that, yeah, because that's like how I used to sort of talk, like where I'm from and that. And they started talking and we used to just fuck about with these voices.
Yeah.
And then Steve at the end of the trip was like, oh, we should do something with this because he's more like academic. Like he, you know, studied English writing at uni and stuff like
that. Yeah,
script
writes and everything.
Yeah, exactly. That wasn't something that was in our even, not even in our like, it just wasn't even in our mind that you could do that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, and then when he said that, I even remember thinking, no one really does anything, do they?
Yeah.
Like everyone just talks. You can't just film something and people watch it. Nah, do you know what I mean? Mm. And then we went back home, and then Asim, who plays Jabadi, he had a little Canon 7D. So when people first started filming like little hood videos, you know what I mean?
Another one.
Yeah, you know what I mean. It looks like a normal.
They only last
photo
like 15.
Camera.
You can only film like 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. And it looked like a normal photo camera. Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, well, you can't film on that. You know, like we're clueless.
Yeah.
And then, so luckily, you know, he had that. So he was the cameraman at first. You know, him and Ben from Ben Brilliant, them two were just our friends that had a camera.
Right. And that's okay.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because he thought the same thing. He's like, no, I don't want to be in front of a camera. I'm a rapper. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I want people to take me seriously.
You asked him?
Yeah, he used to spit. He was Paradox. Yeah. Yeah, man. Like, he used to spit back in the day.
My mind is blown.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's a sick rapper, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everyone's looking at me like, yeah, you didn't know?
Yeah. He's
up to freestyle today,
isn't he? Did he? Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. I think he's back at it, man.
Knowledge.
Like a crack addict.
Yeah. Big shout out to Asim, honestly.
Yeah, so that's kind of where that all started, and then we basically just started filming it because we just wanted to post it on our little Facebook page, our own pages, and see if our friends liked it or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's my point, is like the next stage from that was people like you. It was people that were kind of in the music world.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be the garage world, yeah, just the music world, because they could all relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
They could all relate to trying to make it, things going wrong, the fucking idiots that you meet along the way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the first messages we started getting was like pro green back then as well. And we're like, how are these people? Oh, it must be being shared by people that understand the world. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was the first stage.
Spinal Tap, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that was a big inspiration as well. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
It's the banter that's within, it's like a institution.
For sure
it's this thing where it's like, oh yeah, like, actually I used to do that,
and it's like, we understand this, they might not understand it, but we understand it, that sort of thing. So that's why it was, we never thought it could go past that, because it's such a small world. Do you know what I mean? But then it became musicians that weren't part of that world, you know. Then it became like Pro Green and Lily Allen clocked it, and Lily Allen tweeted it, and we had like, you know, you got like things that go viral overnight. Our first thing was like, it took 3 years to get like 20,000 views. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and then Lily Allen tweeted it, and then it got 20,000 views in one day.
Yeah.
That's when we first, the first ever glimpse of the power of, you know, the word that can be put out there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. But it comes from a passion place, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It's the best thing.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Like,
because then it has its own momentum.
Exactly, yeah. And it doesn't, and if it doesn't get the momentum, it doesn't matter. You've already won, because you've already put everything you can into it and got what you need out of it. Do you know what I'm saying?
But what I admire about you guys the most, and this is only from a, which I think is the deepest lineage, that when we talk about the DNA of the show and how it relates to all of our circumstances, the stuff that we grew up on, the kind of things that go on in the music industry, the underpinning amount of, you could kind of feel the graft, the work rate within you guys, and you could tell that it was love, and that you probably would have just kept on going anyway.
Exactly. I mean, we took us a while, man. We done like maybe like 5 webisodes in like 4 years, but that's because everyone's got, you've got things that you're getting a bit older, so you need to pay bills, you're doing this, you got to be here, so it's all
awesome.
Favors, it's all for free,
but
exactly that, like, it was all because we just wanted to be there. Like, we were like, yeah, sick, I can't wait till once a month linking up with these lot and filming all day, and then Asim having to go through fucking 12 hours of footage and get 8 minutes of gold out of it because most of it's shit.
That shit isn't easy neither.
Oh man, that's what I mean. It's all in the edit. Like, shout out Asim.
Hold tight. Tour de force, and man, what a force it became. It's fucking bonkers. It's just bonkers. It's something that, you know, we'd watch from the beginning, for its inception, and then next thing it's like, you guys are doing sound system shows.
Yeah.
You're going out as Corrupt FM. And there was episodes that lent to that fact. It was almost like art becoming reality.
100%. 100%.
Actually, it was...
Yeah. It was art imitating life, 100%, because... Like I said, I started off wanting to just be, like, originally an MC. Do you know what I mean? Like shout out Reich. He was, like, this kid at my school that took me onto my first pirate radio station, which
I'm sorry,
was...
Reich.
Yeah, shout out Reich, man. X-Flow used to be called. Shout out Dreamer as well. And that was, it was Rampage FM. And I wanted to spit on, like, Reich is a bit younger than me, so, like, grime was just first starting, like, real early, like, you know, like, Eskimo and stuff, you know, and even like a lot of it was just a dark side garage, you know what I mean? But like, I wanted to be like a drum and bass MC. There's no drum and bass DJ for me, so I went down there. My first set was me putting a DJ Hype CD on and just spitting over it for an hour.
Really?
Yeah. And then that closed down that station, and then Rye started from his flat in Kingston. He started Corrupt FM. So Corrupt FM was a real thing.
It was a real thing?
Yeah, back then. Like I'm saying, we're rewinding now, way before me wanting to rap and be into hip-hop and stuff like that. Back then, like around that era that I was going to Corrupt Parties, just after that maybe, or just before that, I can't remember. But that's, Corrupt FM was a real station, it was his station. Right. And I used to kind of run it with him, be there every day. And it was sick because it was like the first time you had a voice and people are listening.
Yeah.
So I mean, even if it's whatever, like
precursor
50 people,
our podcasts, that was like, that was your only way of getting the realest proper music.
And
Marcus?
It's the first time you had power as a teenager.
Yeah.
Like with Graf as well, yeah. The kids that have no control or everything, the first time they have their own freedom and control, I'm going to go right on this wall and I can do it on my time and no one's telling me no. And it's the first time that I'm like, I can be here. Yeah. I don't have to be on this big radio station and all this. Like, I can be here and people are going to listen.
Yeah.
Like, whether they like it or not, because it's on. Like, whether I'm shit or not.
Yeah.
And you might get a text of some of your schoolmates like, oh, yes. Like,
it's a cheap to enter scene. And it's really easy. As long as you can actually...
Or you need your subs.
Or you need your mouth, or you need your spray can.
A little bit of draw.
It just reverts back to the whole punk ethos and the thing that we love about that.
Yeah, as I get older, I clock that. I'm like, because obviously that wasn't my era, and I know you're into that as well, but especially, then it went a bit slick, but then you had grime, and that was it again. Do you know what I'm saying?
That just changed the whole...
Yeah.
Which made... I mean, they were also on the crest of, like, they were onto tape packs, but you'd get a DVD in with it.
Yeah. Shout out Risky Roads, man.
You know, so these sorts of things were slowly, they were moving forward with technology, and that's one thing grime holds its flag.
And they didn't, see with us and with Garage and stuff like that, it was having to get a vinyl that was made by an actual proper producer, And then grime was the first time where a kid could just sit in front of a computer, not a musical bone in his body.
Fruity Loops.
Not a technical bone in his body.
Yeah.
Get free sounds, bang it out, don't mix it. I've got sound to spit over. That's my beat and these are my lyrics.
Best ever.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Get better than that.
Yeah. You know, but that's why a lot of heads would be like, at first, the older heads, I don't really get grime because it sounds all tinny. You know what I mean? But that's the beauty of it. That's like punk, isn't it?
Yeah, it's punk.
Like when punk first came out and it was all like, there was more like... bigger produced rock and roll and rock and stuff, and then suddenly he's this guy that can't even sing over a fucking thing. Yeah, because it's the energy.
Yeah. Resets itself, and if the old guard doesn't get it, then they go.
Yeah.
And then comes a new thing.
And it's the same with the straight letter thing we were talking about earlier. You know, stripping it back.
Yep.
You know what I mean? From all these funky styles in New York, stripping it back, boom.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Fashion and trends, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. For sure, man. Comes in waves.
Yeah. So what we got now here, particularly with your podcast, this podcast, is we've got this new form of information that's being passed along. Of course, we have the radio, pirate radios, but now they're digital.
Yeah.
These things are like all online and things are all moving on.
Yeah.
I think what you guys were, this is a big up. Mm-hmm. You guys are like the last of the people to signal of an era that our generation will look back on and be like,
yeah,
it was like that. You know, like Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
A lot of those old guards, they look at Spinal Tap in a rock and roll kind of way. It was like that.
Yeah, you're right, man. And like, And at the time, we didn't know we was doing it. At the time, it didn't feel like history because it was like fucking 7 years ago. Do you know what I mean? And then as you're doing it, you're like, right, because history's short and that shit comes in shorter chunks now.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember, like, parents would be like, the 70s were like this. You wouldn't say the 2000s were like this. There's so many different times of the noughties.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, 03 was so different to 06 and 09. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
but similarly to pirate radio and the small transferal of, okay, now YouTube, now it's all technology.
Yeah, for sure. Technology started moving faster, so you have to keep up with it.
Yeah.
But you have to, man. Like, you know, like, I'm not sitting here going, oh, it's better when you had to go around with records and that. Like, yeah, there's a beauty in that as well, but there's also a beauty in now and what you can get. Everything's at your fingertips.
Yeah.
You know, there's two arguments. Is that, like, It was romantic before, the fact that you had to fucking even, like, draw, like, just fucking, oh, sick, I've got a mission to this end, wait around, when you get it, it's, oh, so much more special. Do you know what I mean? Like, same with a tape, same with a vinyl or whatever, innit? But also, isn't it brilliant that you can fucking just order your bud online or go on Spotify and listen to whatever you want, do you know what I'm saying?
True, and people take that thing as a... He's always quick to criticise.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how you get old and stale, because you don't want to move with the times.
Not about that, boy.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I appreciate it. At the same time, when someone, like, oh, fuck that, it was shit. Nah, you've got to appreciate where things come from.
Mm.
And I love that I'm from an era where I grew up when it was just payphones. And if matey ain't where you said you was going to link, you got to check every park outside every shop, every high street. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Knock it out. It's thingy and please pretending you're not stoned.
Yeah.
You know, I love that.
Oh, he's not here. Okay.
Yeah. That's a lot of miles you got to walk, isn't it? And if you owe someone pee in that, you're not just jumping in an Uber. You've got to fucking go that way. You see what it is? Yeah, but that's hectic.
Yeah.
But you know, there's a beauty in it all. Do you know what I mean?
That's right. And there's certain things you can take away from... Just going back again to the pirate era and the sound system era, because you guys went and did festival. I saw you guys like a sound system, and I know that might be controversial to some of the older heads that watch, and you know, that are into the sound systems. But
you got to rate it.
Yeah, man. I do feel.
I'm joking,
I do feel though that when you guys came on the set of a lot of fest, it was almost like takeover time, and that definitely is a heart back to. You've got the new technology now, and then you've got this.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the roots in which you came up through, which is YouTube, but it's from a pirate era. And it's all these kind of...
That's mad, yeah. And do you know what? You know, I'm being serious when I say you can't hate on it, in the sense of... I mean, you could do what you want, but...
Subscribe, comment below.
Definitely do that. Yeah. No, but in the sense of... look, if we was like some actors who had never been in that world... We're from, I don't know, whatever, some next ends and that, different class, and then they're trying to do that, then yeah, you'd be like, fucking hell, like, we've worked our asses off to get here. But I've worked my ass off to be in the music thing way before, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just switched up my lane. They're the same muscle, you're performing, do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I just switched up my lane. And now, you know, I'm blessed to be able to... And we do respect that as well. We respect the fact that we get to be doing these festivals, these raves and stuff like that, you know, gigs or whatever, because this is something we always wanted. That was our dream when we was younger. Do you know what I'm saying?
Just went the other way around
we
to
just
get
had
it.
To, yeah, exactly, yeah. And in a way, I'm happy because now I don't take life as seriously. But when you're a teenager, it's all about your how people perceive you and that. Like, now it's like, I get to do it and have fun with my best friends. Like, I'm so blessed. Like, there's no pretense. There's no
best feeling
mask.
Ever.
No, yeah. I mean, you're pretending to be another person, but you know what I mean. It's, in a way, you're more free than ever.
Who doesn't?
Exactly. We've all got a mask. Yeah, come on. Honestly. We all kiss our mum on the cheek. I mean, we all wank. Come on.
Yeah.
I don't. I've never wanked in my life.
To be fair,
I don't like touching my own dick. It's weird.
It's weird.
Yeah. Too veiny.
I love mine.
Same.
I'll type Marcus.
Been a bit off track though.
Yeah. It's a roundabout sort of way, and you made it there.
Mm-hmm,
you got to this place, and it's
No, and I don't get me wrong. I really appreciate it. Like, every single day, I'm just like, I'm so lucky.
Mm-hmm. It's fantastic, man.
You know, like, you could say, you know, oh, but you work. You, no, but there's loads of talented people. There's millions of talented people. I grew up with so many, innit? But to be where you are, it's fucking lucky, man. Yeah. You've won a race and you've got to fucking appreciate that and hold on to that, man. And never just, you know, never take it for granted, man.
I think it humbles you, doesn't it?
Like
when you've really gone that distance and you've had to find different way, other ways of thinking things through.
Yeah, for sure.
And like, I don't know, I could do that. Oh, actually, it doesn't matter because I've done it. And I'm kind of where I wanted to be.
Yeah, for sure. Like, if you told me when I was trying to be a real serious MC, oh, you could be a comedian. Oh, fuck that. No, that's sneaky. You know, like all this. Nah, man, like, that's a lie because I've always been fucking about and love jokes and comment, you know, in behind
closed
doors.
Find it in your soul, innit?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So on that, lying to yourself. So on that note then, hip hop, let's get into it. Mm. All right, so beat producers, talk to me.
What top what?
Top five beat producers.
Top five. All right, cool. So it'd probably be okay. So Alchemist would be in there. I'm not doing any order. Al would be in there. Havoc.
Ooh.
Just because me, Shook Ones, Hell on Earth, like they was
underrated, soundtrack. He doesn't even get a mention as being a fucking producer.
Yeah, man, but he was hard. Like, and the way he was making them back then with, you know, like using a tape player to record shit and the Shook Ones when he's using the off the hob. You know what I'm saying?
Like, explain to me, for them, explain
to me. He sampled a hob, I swear, like to get that, to get the hi-hat.
Because you know that is like the hardest.
Yeah, I swear he did.
That's like the hardest intro.
Don't quote me on that, but I swear. Yeah, this is a hard intro, isn't it? Even if it's just the romance of me thinking that, let's just go with that.
Yeah, I'm going with it.
Yeah. I'm in. RZA.
Oh!
Like, I was a massive Wu head, man. And like, even like, I was so deep, I was into like all the offshoots, like Killer Army, Grave Sons Diggers, of Man, Grave Diggers. Yeah.
Something about RZA's production.
Of a certain era as well, for me anyway.
But you can still listen to it now. Like,
Oh no, of course. Ooh. But I mean, he had a sound in a certain era is what I mean.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? The way he flipped the samples, like...
Flipped them.
Like, out of a musical tone. You know, like, not he didn't follow the rules.
You're not even beat pattern.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Just little cut-offs of just ends of... 8 bars. He just did that and he got away with it.
Yeah, crazy. And then I'd say MF Doom.
Oh, yeah.
For me.
Because I knew you was an MF Doom fan, weren't you?
Massive, rest in peace, man.
Rest in peace, MF Doom.
I put him in my top five MCs as well. Like, but like Madlib as well, you know, maybe. Yeah, I mean. Bang Dre in there. Yeah, I do love Dre, man. And my first ever album was Snoop Dogg Doggy Style. And
me too.
That G-Funk that Dre used to make was hard.
Me too. It took me ages to find the Chronic. I had to go to outer reaches of somewhere to find the record of it.
Import. What, the original Chronic?
First version. The 90s is littered with some of the most prevalent production that it's all under one banner, the golden era.
Yeah, man, yeah. And I hate putting it like that because I'm not one of them people that are like, oh, I only like Immortal Technique and Jedi Mind Tricks and hate Drake. You know what I mean? Like, I like it. Like, you know what I mean? I was into just super dark lyrical shit before, but like, I love Drake now, innit? If I'm in a club, do you know what I'm saying?
I'm in.
Cool, yeah. Like, he's sick. You can't take that away from him. So I just love hip-hop as a whole, but... That's what I fell in love with, that 90s shit. 80s shit, I was too young for that. You know what I mean? I was even too young for the 90s shit, really.
It took me a while to go back.
It hit me. Yeah. Like, if you used to say Big Daddy Kane to me, I'm like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you say Cool G, that's because in the 90s he was popping.
Because he popped.
And he had that rebirth in the 90s, you know what I mean? A new style.
Underrated MCs.
Oh, that's a good one. It's weird, yeah. I don't think this guy's underrated. I just want to open the conversation up. MF Doom, I think, is one of the illest lyricists of all time, yeah? But he never gets put... You know, people are like...
They don't put him there.
You know, Tupac, Biggie, Big L, you know, obviously, I'm not taking anything away from those. Like, they seem to be knowing what they're doing, do you know what I mean?
I think they've got potential.
Yeah, I think. No, but no one mentions Doom. But I don't know if that's because he's underrated. I think that it's like more of... like, I know loads of guys that are more of, like, a different world of, like, they might know about, you know, like UK road rap type Brits. Yeah. They'll be into Jada, Styles and shit like that, innit? They might listen to Doom and be like, this shit's mad, I don't really get it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a bit jazz. Do you know what I mean? Like, the way he spits. So, maybe not underrated, definitely not underrated, but I guess not enough people know about him.
Unsung.
And misunderstood, maybe. Misunderstood. Yeah.
You know why it is? Because he was so well rounded. He had the graphic, the production, he had the DJ, and he had the MC. He became this like cottage institution that just lived and people just always relied on him.
Yeah.
And
then when he's gone. You're right. That's how I felt as well. I was like, fuck, I always just thought, that's it. You know, I maybe took him for granted.
Yeah.
Is a good word. Do you know what I mean?
Took him for granted.
Not that he cared, but. He was kicking himself. Yeah. Why don't you listen to me every day? You said you loved me.
Yeah. But I do feel, I also feel like he loved his fans as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he was a fan.
For sure.
That's
for sure.
The other thing.
And I hate people that are like, oh no, but he snaked it because he doesn't come out to some of his gigs. So fucking what? He's the villain, man. Yeah. Get over it. Do you know what I'm saying? Listen to him on headphones.
Get over it.
You know what I mean? He's built for the headphone shit, man. He's not doing no backflips.
Nah,
stage,
he's not.
You know
he's doing
his.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. He's not throwing dinghies out on the crowd and wedding cakes.
Phone party in Super Soakers. MF Doom phone party at Oceana.
I'll definitely go.
Yeah, I'd go. Yeah.
I've got three, right? I've got Eight Off the Assassin, who's a fucking.
Who the fuck's that?
He's a beast. I'm going to send you some links.
Definitely.
Batman.
You're right, because I don't even know who's.
Jest.
Oh, underrated.
Underrated.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But again,
Chester P. But although Chester P does get flowers.
No, he does. He does. But what I think he means in
he's
the,
only,
it's
so
only within that world. Only within that world. Yeah. Hard.
Chester
hard,
P
yeah.
is hard.
No, you're right. Jess was my favourite for a long time, man. When I was younger and I first, before I knew about UK hip hop and I was only into American stuff and I don't know, obviously, maybe I'm getting it a bit later because I'm out in bumpkin land, do you know what I mean? And then suddenly I'm like, wow, Skinny Man, Jest, Kalash, all these people, like, how have I not known about them? I was obsessed with Jest, man. He's hard. I don't know if I'd call him underrated because anyone that listens to him would know how sick he is. But maybe it's only within that world and not enough people outside of the world know
that's
that.
What I think.
Whereas people like Skinny and Kalash, there was a broader world that understood about that as well.
He set the seed. He put the seed in. He was like, yo, like, this is British Backpacker. In fact, I would go as far as he kept it going to the point where the streets became the streets. And I feel like, yo, Jess should have been right behind Mike Skinner.
I see what you mean. Yeah, I see what you mean. It's just English, we are more of a naturally dance music led, either the Jamaican culture influence, which is a sound system, that dancehall reggae, which is deeply installed in British culture.
Big time, yeah.
Or dance music.
Yeah.
Like rap was always a thing that came.
That was an import.
Was an import, exactly. Yeah. So, and where it was coming out when there was a lot of dance music and stuff like that, I feel like that's why. And then grime came out, which was an offshoot of dance music. You know what I mean?
It's kind of got slept on a little bit.
Yeah, of course, yeah. That's why it was like, you're either into UK hip-hop or you're into like fucking jungle and grime and shit like that. You know, and then there was a few people that, like me, that would be in, dip my toes in both.
Yeah, that's right.
But that was a thing, wasn't it? It was an identity thing. Like, if you was into hip-hop and smoking and backpacking, going to these nights, you might not be into that shit. You might think grime's a bit too simple and not lyrical enough. Do you know what I mean?
That's right.
And I understood that. You know, I understood both in that sense. Because I've been there and been like, oh, but there's, you know, if you're just that, what he's saying, you know what I mean? But then understanding, oh, but it's the energy of these youths. Do you know what I mean?
Which goes back to the punk.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because a lot of punk bands back in the day, they didn't actually have good production.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Just get in a garage and do it.
Yeah, but you might like it because of the feel and what you felt at the time.
Yeah.
Not if you broke it down to a real music, man, and they listen to it and you're like, and you're playing it to them thinking, it doesn't sound as good as I imagined when they hear it. the mix is terrible on this. Yeah.
I've just been listening to this fucking, I don't know, Dr. Dre produced.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden I'm listening to
this really tinny, hundred, yeah, exactly.
One more person I'd like to just flag up, if I may, Farrah Monch.
Definitely underrated, but he's like a lot of MC's favourite MC, isn't it? Black Thought?
Oh!
Same sort of thing. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if you asked a lot of rappers, it's them, man. Do you know what I mean?
But why don't they bring them up? What is it about
it?
Is it because of the dependent, again, back to the MF Doom thing? It's the dependent, it's the familiarity of like, oh, they're always going to be there.
Yeah. And that goes without saying, kind of thing. And there's, this might, again, I might just be spouting shit, but also a story is what makes a good rapper as well. And someone you remember and always put in your things, you know what I mean?
Like
their story, their life.
You know, before when you think music.
About with that, you know, when you think about Biggie, you know his whole story and his whole life. When you think about Tupac, you know what I mean. It's not just the lyrics. Whereas their man are just the lyrics, and they don't. It's not. You know what I mean?
They're like, not think. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 50 Cent, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
No one's saying 50 Cent is
Eminem
can be one of the greatest of all time, but no one's saying. You know what I mean? No one's saying that like Black Thought is actually a better lyricist. Do you know what I mean?
Create the narrative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure, man. Eminem, exactly. He's an ill lyricist, but you also know he's got a mad story behind it.
Someone once said about the comparative between Star Trek and Star Wars, and the difference was really... It was shocking when they said it. It was a program or something, but...
No, but I'm learning.
It's fucking great. It's fucking great. It's like, the difference between Star Trek and Star Wars is... When you're in the Millennium Falcon, you care about the people. Therefore, you don't want the ship to explode.
Right.
When you're on Star Trek, you don't fucking know any of them.
Just some mad bro pointy sideburns.
Fucking bullets fly.
Spiky is.
You know what I mean? We're losing a captain. But you care about these
That's
people.
That's true. Yeah, you have to care about them. Yeah,
you know what I mean? You have
man.
To give a shit.
And that's what Grime is about as well, you know? Like, original Grime was these mad superhero characters that all had their own thing. Yeah. Mental sometimes, like, you know, now when you think back at it, you're like some of my best MCs are slightly offbeat, they've got their own pockets, they've got this mad personality, charisma, do you know what I mean?
But you
buy into that and you, it's more than just the lyrics, man.
It's more than the lyrics.
Do you know what I mean? There was a part in my life where it was just the lyrics for me, but then it became more than that.
But that's as you come up, innit? Because you have to...
Yeah.
You have to almost do your homework.
100%, exactly. And you're like, and it's the first time you're hearing shit like that. You're like, oh my God. How are they putting these words together and then there's this deeper meaning and all that? You're like, you think you've changed the world in your mind. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's what keeps you going.
Yeah, 100%. So,
talking about the underrated rappers, let's scoop back to the prior conversation about producers and that, like how you... I mean, obviously, like, you got the podcast and that was already gaining momentum. How did you get Alchemist on the podcast?
Yeah, that's crazy. Because with that as well, that was our first series, so we'd never had a podcast out. Do you know what I mean? So it worked with everyone's where... people to see that would want to come on. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, so with Alchemist, it was like maybe 2 years before that. I can't remember. Oh, someone must have just messaged me on Insta with a screenshot with Alchemist saying something like, I don't know, something like Grindr, best MC in the galaxy or something like that. Like he hadn't tagged anyone or anything.
What?
And I was like, that's too specific not to be about nothing. I don't think I'm getting that wrong. Let me, I was like, right. So I went on his profile and there was a few tweets about Corrupt FM and shit. I was like, right, it's maybe about 3 years ago. So yeah, so I didn't feel no way about being a fanboy of Alchemist.
No,
it's someone in America, like this is a very British thing. Like, I'm always baffed when someone across the seas knows about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel you.
It's not like, music's a bit easier to translate, but with comedy it's a bit different. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just inboxed him on Twitter. I was like, yo, this is, I was just like, fucking, that's crazy. How the fuck do you know about it?
Yeah.
And he was like, yo, I've been knowing about this shit. And because he's even if you don't see it in public, he's super clued up to like all different subcultures, isn't
it?
Like,
so he's just on it.
He has to be as a producer. You know, like if you hear his influences and that, it's like, he'll have like a little, even like the other day I was listening to one of his tunes that had the, you know, the Super Cat Clash, Sting Clash. Like he had a little thing like, me have a gun pun me or something like that from there. That's mad niche.
Yeah.
Not in England because the dancehall culture is big here, but I was like, rah, so he's obviously clocked on to all these things, do you know what I mean? And I can't remember who put him on, but anyway, he said, next time I'm in England, like I'll holler you lot. Or like, or when we're...
You know, that's really casual, you know?
Yeah.
I'll holler at you.
Yeah, but that's usually bullshit, isn't it? That's usually like, yeah, next time, cool. And then you just don't link up with anyone, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can miss you, not time it is. And you know what you got to do.
No, but so about a year later, he was in England for something. Maybe he was DJing for Eminem or some shit. Maybe it was like a tour thing. But he was in Red Bull Studios, which is in Southeast, do you know what I mean? And he messaged me. He's like, what are you doing? We're going to be at Red Bull Studios on this day. Come down.
What happened to your head at that point?
I was like, there's no way I'm going down on my own, man. Like, I was like, fuck, called Hugo, like, you know what I mean? Like, shit, like, you got to come with. He's like, of course I'm coming with you. You know, like, Hugo's a beat maker as well. Yeah, yeah. I was like, that's crazy. Oh, Kieran came as well. Kieran, like, hardly even knows who Alchemist is. Like, he'll know the tunes, but, you know, he doesn't really know it. Yeah, yeah. And then we came in and, like, Kieran's just sitting on the edge of one of the seats, just like, what's going on here? Doesn't really know. And I'm like, yeah, and we just basically jammed there for a couple of hours with him. Like, he's making beats. He ended up just like showing us jokes videos on YouTube or whatever. Like, he's smoking his big truncheons, I'm smoking a little roll up and that. This is anxiety.
You don't smoke weed anymore.
No. So yeah, which he was like surprised about as well, and I was like, nah. I was like, yeah, in England there's this thing called anxiety some people get.
Yeah.
He'd never heard of it. Yeah. But no, he was sick. He was super down to earth guy. Like, mind blowing experience, and just, but it was just so normal at the same time.
And what was it like conversating with him on podcast?
So then, yeah, obviously, a couple of years later.
Check this out, by the way.
Yeah, Chat and Shit podcast. Yeah. A couple of years later, we're still messaging every now and then, texting, whatever. If something comes out from each of us, little congrats or whatever, just light. And then when the podcast came out, I messaged him, and he's like, say no more. I was like, oh shit, that was easy, but it's lockdown, isn't it? Everyone was free. Yeah. And it's gonna be over Zoom. So cool, I'll do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a really good time to try for it. And then he must have called me the next day, and then he FaceTimed me the next day and was chatting about it. And then day after that we just did it. No, it was crazy. It was really mad to hear about his journey, actually, because there's loads I didn't know about. Mm. You know, even the first time I met him, he goes, of course I know about Pirate Radio. He's like, I was on the Soul Assassins tour. When I was just a younger, when
he
I
was
first
Soul
came
Assassins.
Up, yeah,
he was
they came to England, sorry, and they did one of the fucking press junket, press run thing. Yeah, it was a pirate radio station, so he'd been on pirate radio back then.
What was the name of his crew? He was in. He was part of Soul Assassins,
but then he had like a little double act with this other American guy who's like an actor now.
Yeah.
I can't remember, but he was a rapper. Below. Alchemist was a rapper at first.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
there's things that I didn't know, innit? Yeah. So yeah, no, it's a real crazy journey,
and then going back to the MOP, the Mobb Deep, or MOP, yeah. Old tight MOP, yeah, but yeah, Mobb yeah. Deep, you know, he became Prodigy's like main producer.
I'm saying he told a story about the fact that he's just jamming in like Havoc's basement, making a beat, looks round, who comes in? Nas comes in, goes, whose beat's that? I want to jump.
Normal day, normal.
Thanks to him, man. Like, me and Hugo just. Idiot chatting shit, but you know.
But it's a one in a million. It's these things. I mean, and hold tight, you being here as well.
Thank you, brother. You know, appreciate it. Yeah,
because this is the gold that I think it's the cement that makes, you know, connects the dots between podcasts and also
For sure.
For people to know, you know, just communication.
Yeah, man.
They probably wouldn't have got that information in any other way.
If it had
not been for you talking to Alchemist the way you did.
Yeah, man. Well.
And again, going back to the pirate thing. Mm. I think producers, they have this tendency that, and I've said this before on podcasts, they're like the most regimented motherfuckers that know everything about anything.
For real. Like, he knew so much about everything, man. Like, every reference, he'd be like, yeah, cool, boom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know half the shit he's talking about. I'm just nodding along, right? Yeah, sick. The problem, I'm drinking, because they're all like the natty wines and that, the natural wines, and I got into it as well. So I'm like, he's coming on, in ode of him, chill a little bottle, drinking it, end up getting through the whole thing. And then we basically spoke for 3 hours, but for the last hour and a half, my mic was unplugged, where I was just like sort of chatting shit, fucked and unplugged it, didn't realise.
Oh no.
So like, we only literally got an hour and a half, it was going to be a two-parter.
Yeah.
But like, we lost bear of it, but you know.
It happens. Trust me, man. It happens to the best of us.
It lives on within
me. My first 100 episodes, including the
he
hated,
wasn't recording.
Yeah, no. We were just going back.
It's just great. Yeah.
Oh, you got press record.
Yeah. Had someone transcribing it in the corner.
Yeah, like some Flintstones dude at the back there. Nah, I had the fucking phone. You know,
yeah.
You know, and I'd lose like 40. First 40 minutes were fine on the phone, but then the phone doesn't like it, and it'll just shut off.
Right.
So I know that it's 40 minutes. So on my first 100 episodes, as soon as it cuts off, it goes, go to the fucking audio podcast.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, okay. Yeah.
I thought that was just a clever way of making people watch the video and audio.
Yeah, that was I played that off.
Yeah. That's sick.
The numbers. I mean,
but people do that on podcasts, anyway. Yeah. They just put a little clip. You know what I mean? Like we don't film ours, man.
No.
Yeah.
What do you quantify as a season, as a series
of a podcast?
Yeah.
when we can't be fucked anymore, we've got other shit to do for a bit. Which was 15 episodes for the first one and then 20 for this one.
People underestimate 15. 15's a fucking lot, man.
Yeah, man, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Especially when you're like juggling other things in life. Do you know what I mean?
Life stuff.
Yeah. Like people are like, even with like people just do nothing, like just do another series, man, just bang it out. So that shit takes about a year.
Yeah.
And do you know what I'm saying? And that's to make it, well, hopefully as good as it can be. Do you know what I mean?
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Do you, since you're here.
yeah, that's what I'm literally, sure. I'm here, yeah.
How much of People Just Do Nothing do you feel is owned by you?
Mm-hmm.
Compared to how much of it that is probably owned by the public? Like, do you feel like often, which I think it comes in at any point in a career trajectory when you've got to this place where people love you so much, they don't want it to move, they don't want it to change.
Mm.
But yet it's on demand and you have to, it's supply, isn't it? Like, how much of it is owned by you and it is orchestrated by a calendar, and how much of it is theirs?
I see what you mean. Like, in a way, you know, anything you put out there is theirs, you know, because things mean different things for different people in different times of their lives. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For us, it's like something we enjoy doing, we're fucking about. For someone, it might mean a lot more, you know, because it was there for a part of their life or something like that. But, and I know, I get the point you're trying to make, but you can't think like that because then it starts getting in the way of the creative process, you know, like, how are people going to see this?
Yeah.
Like, how much do we need to put out there to make sure the demand? You have to just close yourself off from that and just try and, you know, just act like it is just yours. Do you know what I mean?
It's mad hard though, because social media and all these things, that constant barrage of like, you should do this.
Yeah, and
you should do that.
Yeah, and as soon as you, like, people would be like, when we were making it, you know, People's Nothing's done now. It's going to be the film, which we can talk about in a bit. But series wise, it's done, you know. But even before that, people would be like, when's the new series coming out? Series comes out after the last episode, when's the new one coming out? Like, fucking hell, like, you know, like,
you swallowed that one quickly, didn't you, mate?
Trust me, if I banged them out as quick as you want me to, you wouldn't like it anymore.
Yeah,
because do you know what I mean? Like, it's not, you know, like, it's a lot of work, man, and I'm not as talented as, I'm not that talented to be banging them out like that. Yeah.
But I know what you mean. It's supply and demand, especially now, is like...
Yeah, exactly, because it's very... it's done, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, whereas before, if you had something, your favourite thing, you'd watch it. You'd watch it again and again and again, and you know what I mean? And you'd live with it, you know what I mean?
How many times did you watch The Office?
So I'm saying The Office is two series.
I think I must have watched both seasons a trillion times.
The same. Do you know what I mean? It feels like there's loads because I've watched them so many times, but there's actually only 14 episodes.
Yeah. But that's all you need.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Because, I mean, I'm not comparing what we do to that. That's, for me, the Holy Grail, do you know what I mean?
It's the Holy Grail, yeah. But there will be people, and I'm included, that would say that People Just Do Nothing is within that bracket of cult following.
Because
it is a cult following. People don't think too deep about the longevity of things not in a commercial sense. Mm. They put it in that place of, that was the last of that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you guys, you kind of... Who was the guy, actually, while I'm here, who was the Scottish guy that... the really fucking hardcore comedian guy. He was Scottish and he was the comedian and he...
Libby,
yes.
Libby, yeah.
He was the last. He was the last that came through the door. That's dark as it gets.
Yeah. Libby's hard. He's still going, you know. Like, in lockdown, he had a lockdown show and shit. But yeah, he's hard.
He's hard.
Yeah. He's sick. Yeah, it's people like that that give you your inspiration to, like, do you know what I mean? Know that you can push the boundaries.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And you guys did that.
It's easy to be complacent.
You guys did that.
Yeah. The danger is, though, the more you know, the more you're like, you can overthink it. Do you know what I mean? And it's not a good thing.
Well, that you become a parody of your...
Well, even like what you're putting out there. And that's what we were talking about earlier. Like, how is this going to... You just got to shut yourself off from that, man, and just create.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like, gotta be a you basically separation. Keep that same hip mentality and like underground hip hop and graph and that.
Mm.
That, you know, do this because you believe in it and you love it, you know, and it doesn't mean you don't move forward, but I feel anyway, if you keep that mentality, you can create things that you are, whether other people like it or not, you're proud of. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's super important because if you don't, because it's all a journey, and if you ain't enjoying it and you ain't in love with it.
Yeah, exactly. That is, what's the point? You might as well be, it's the same as doing a soul-destroyed job that you don't like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
No one wants it.
Nah, man.
And they'll see it as well.
Yeah, for sure.
They'll see it. So there's a new movie on the way.
Yeah, man, yeah. So that was already, we filmed it not last year, the year before, set in Japan. And that was wrapped last year. It was meant to come out last August, but obviously... I don't know if you've heard, there's been like a little thing.
Now you come to me.
Yeah, you know, like little pandemic. Yeah, something like that, yeah. But yeah, because of that, obviously, everything's on pause. And it's coming out this August in cinemas. So I'm really excited for people to see it. Man.
Is that the first cinema?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, turbo gas, yeah.
Marcus has not seen. You know nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he didn't have the option to see it, but I'm joking, yeah. And then alongside that, releasing the first proper Corrupt FM album as well.
Hold on,
yeah, which is Corrupt FM Greatest Hits, because in the film. So I'll tell you a little.
So it's the soundtrack of the film.
Nah, so like I guess a little bit in the sense of like. It's got the essence of it, but it's all original tracks, do you know what I mean? As a separate thing. But in the film, I can't really give away anything because the trailer's not even out. But, okay, so...
Well, it will be out when it comes out.
Yeah, okay.
Might be.
But...
I can always edit.
Yeah. Now, do you know what? What I will say is that when we're in the writing process, we wanted to do something like... You've pretty much seen everything in People Still Nothing, what can happen in the TV series, you know. Them trying to make it through every avenue. They even go for internet radio. You know what I mean? They try all these different things. You've seen them have kids. You've seen them get married. You've seen them split up, like Meesh and Grindr split up. You know, you've seen all these different things. And like that's why we ended it, because we felt like we'd taken it to the point where we wanted it, and we don't want to like overdo it. Do you know what I'm saying? We don't want to just do something for the sake of it. So when the opportunity of the film came up, we were like, we'll only do it if we can think of something original enough that feels interesting enough to make a film. Do you know what I'm saying?
Ooh.
So like,
what is this sorcery?
So we were like, we've never seen them make it. Do you know what I'm saying? So it would be funny to see them get a taste of success and see how they handle that.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, People Just Do Nothing, when you look at it by the end, the lesson learned is that it's about a group of friends. That's what it's about. It seems like it's about them trying to make it and Grindr's ego trying to make it, but actually it was always just for them. Like there's a clip that never made it in the last ever episode where Grindr has to move away to Essex, and they have one last set. They're like, fuck it, it's old time set. They have one last set before I leave. And then in true Crutch Film style, they realise the transmitter's not on as they start emceeing. And then Beats goes, oh, fuck, the transmitter's not on. He's about to turn it on and I go, leave it. This was only just for us. So, I mean, and that to me, it was felt too on the nose to put in the actual edit.
Yeah.
But that to me is what it was about. Do you know what I'm saying? Ooh. Sometimes less is more. You don't need to say that.
Yeah.
But if we're discussing it, that's what it was about. And that's what we were talking about before, you know? It was the process. It's the hanging out. It's the doing it. It's not the what comes out of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the lesson learned. That for us and these characters, do you know what I mean? But then, after that, it's good to see, like, how would they deal with success? Like, would they actually enjoy it? You know, like, is it the thing they actually wanted all along or not? Do you know what I mean? So Japan is one of them places, you know, isn't it? Like, people that aren't big can be big in Japan.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there's always this weird little niche there. Yeah. So that's why we set it there, and that's kind of what it's about. So it's the first time we got with actual producers. Like, we've got, like, Sir Spyro, Rude Kid, MJ Cole, Zinc, Fred again,
Hold on.
Yeah, man.
This is the...
I won't say that. Yeah, mad.
You got sent a snippet?
Chasing status. Yeah.
This isn't giving me a basic... This isn't
no, this is so. This is within the Corrupt FM universe. This is that because no, these people wouldn't want to work with Corrupt FM within that universe.
Yeah,
you know, within the Marvel Corrupt FM universe. So it's like they've got this bit of pee, so they're paying these people off to work with them. Because it always has to have a logic.
Yeah, that's you know what I mean? Yeah. Because everything has got to be thought through. Yeah. Narratively.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's a mad existence as a creative. You've got to think about what would that person do. It's almost like stepping into reality, stepping back in, stepping back out.
Because you've got to keep true to that, man. You've worked so hard at it. And it's not just me, like, with so many people behind it. It's like, you've got to keep it true to what those characters are.
It's and tough. Why. That's a tough one, man.
And that's why you have to make it. It's good because it makes you, your decisions are all calculated and thought out. They're not just, oh, let's just do this because there's some pee there and we can make some pee. Do you know what I mean? It's like, would that make sense? And cool, if you get paid off it, that's a bonus. Do you know what I'm saying? And then we've got General Levy, little jungle track with General Levy.
We've got hold tight, General Levy.
JK, my Mist, guy. Creed, D-double.
JK, you got JK?
Yeah, man, yeah. Shout out them, man.
Hold tight, JK.
Yeah man. They're just we just basically wanted to think about the people that influenced us and that we're into. And it was just generally fans of, do you know what I'm saying? And see if we could make it happen. And they were the ones that answered the call, really. There's loads more that said no.
Wow, cool. I mean, this is
so that's going to come
cornerstone.
Around,
it's about to kick off.
Yeah. It's been quiet from us because just been doing our shit and obviously in lockdown. So this year, will be a busy one, man.
But you made impact. Like it doesn't feel like there's a silence. It's more like well. Very much like MF Doom.
Sometimes you need to take a step back anyway,
yeah,
man.
You have to find your feet. And
don't overflood it, you know what I mean? Overdo it.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's something from more our generation, do you know what I mean? Like understanding that you don't have to do everything, even if those opportunities arise.
Yeah.
You know, but again, that's because I'm surrounded by all these boys that are my best mates and we can all check each other and say, no, this is the right move, this isn't, you know what I mean? It's not saying I'm some sort of, you know, clever mastermind. It's like...
No, but it's also about the amount, it's about the amount of opportunities as well.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a few things that have come to my table recently where I've had to genuinely question it based on the integrity and whether or not
that's
works.
That's it, integrity. Yeah, 100%, man. Yeah. And it's a constant struggle, man, because you've got to appreciate where you are and you've got to pay bills and you've got to be like, rah, I wouldn't have had this opportunity if I wasn't doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But then it's like, what do I want to leave on the sort of whatever journey I'm taking?
The imprint of my journey.
Yeah, man.
There's some things that you take L's for. Like, if you guys, for instance, if I was to see Corrupt FM do a Snickers commercial. Do a Snickers commercial where you were just like in the pirate radio station environment and you're fucking having it and then get a Snickers and then you know what I mean? And someone comes over with Snickers, Mr. T comes in.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll be in. I'll be like, yeah, sold, done. You know what I mean? Because
you'd be in for that. I'll tell you what, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because it makes sense.
No, you're right. Exactly that. Yeah, that's exactly my point because there are things that we've done and will do that like make sense within the world. But you always have to justify that.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was talking about before. Like if a brand comes through and it's like, look, it's a payday, but we get to create some good content and we get to write it and it gets to be within that world, then that's fine. That makes sense. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it's a fine line because
especially lockdown's been tough, so sometimes you got to, you know what I mean? There's a few things in that.
You're basically, you've got two personas. You've got the Corrupt FM world, but then you've got the storyline of somebody that you were never there when they were around.
Yeah, it's true.
So you know, Grindr, the MC Grindr, you know his reality, you know what he is.
Yeah.
But you weren't there.
I wasn't there. So it's true.
You've got almost like
I
reverse...
came to Grindr's life when he was like 25. Do you know what I'm saying?
That shit's mad.
Yeah, it's true. I never thought of it like that. It's crazy, yeah. Fucking so I wonder what he's up to.
Yeah, I wonder what Grind is up to right now. Grind, comment below. Because yeah. You know he fucking would. Yeah. Who's this?
Yeah. He's whack.
The fuck is he talking about? That Killer Keller. Fucking hell.
Beatboxing now. Fuck all that shit. Do you know what I mean?
90s. Yeah.
So all that rap shit and that. Too slow and that. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
So we're looking forward to that. That's happening then.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. I mean, hopefully it was... I mean, not from our side, but yeah, you know,
Athens, it's going to do its thing.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of people out there looking forward to it as much as I am,
hopefully,
my brother.
Hopefully, I don't disappoint, man. Yeah,
it's been a pleasure having you on, my brother.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me, bro.
And this will continue once we finish recording. Right, we're out like heroes out of fashion. We've got business to take care of. You guys, stay lucky. Take care of yourselves. Don't talk to any strange ones. All right. Thank you for coming on, Zebra.
Bow.
Stay lucky, people.
Nice one.
Good.